Great to be here. It's great to get to preach this morning. Go ahead and make your way with your Bibles over to the book of Revelation chapter 10. And when you get there, stick a finger there, stick something there, your chapstick or whatever, and turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 12. When I was here a couple of months ago, we launched from Hebrews chapter 12 and we went backwards to the book of Genesis, and we looked at a man who may be the most graphic example of a man who was saved, a man the Bible called righteous, but yet a man who had was backslidden on God, a man who was not running his Christian race like he was supposed to, maybe the most miserable man, and we looked at his miserable life. And this morning, though, I want to come with a word of encouragement. We're going to launch again from Hebrews chapter 12, but we're going to go forward. But because I don't want to live like that. I want to live as Hebrews 12 says we are supposed to live. I want to live a life of faith. I want to live a life that is pleasing to God. I want to live a life that honors Christ, and I want to run my race well. Now, when I was a young boy, I still remember this. My grandfather would plant a garden every year. I called him Papa. He would plant a garden every year, and I would go. I mean, I was little. I'd go help him. You know what I'm saying? And he had a push plow. Some of you may remember what that was. A lot of you younger folks ain't got a clue what that is. But that's how he laid off his rows. That's the way he laid his rows out. And he'd take that push plow and he'd go and then I'd grab hold of it. I said, "Let me do it." And you know, his would be just arrow straight. Mine would be, I mean, it looked like a snake. I'd push a little bit and I'd stop and look. I'm like, what in the world? You know, I'd push a little bit, stop and look, push a little bit. I finally said, "Papa, how do you get your rows so straight and how come mine are so crooked?" And he said, "It has to do, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at the wrong thing." He said, "What you need to do is pick out a spot in front of you at the end of the row, and you stare at that spot, and you just push straight to that spot." And he said, you're too busy looking right in front of you and too busy looking behind you. You need to look where you want to go and quit looking at where you've been. Look at where you want to go. Look at that spot in front of you." And then he said, "Look at that rock right up there." I'm like, "That little bitty rock?" He's like, "When you get, the closer you get, the bigger it'll get. The closer you get, the bigger it gets." I don't preach with this thought in mind this morning. Looking unto Jesus, or as God has been dealing with me this week, is he big enough? Is he big enough? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us this. Y'all go ahead and stand with me this morning as we reverence the reading of God's word. Hebrews chapter 12 says, "Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." Looking unto Jesus, there it is. Y'all got it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, we love you. We thank you this morning for this time you've allowed us to be here. You hadn't brought us here by accident, Father, but you brought us here with a purpose. Father, Lord, first and foremost is to praise and glorify our Lord and Savior. Father, Lord, I pray that just for the next few minutes that your grace and your mercy would rain down in this place. Father, fall on each and every one of us, Lord. Let us just get a glimpse of you this morning, God. Let us see something that you ain't never let us see before. Let us see you, Father, Lord, and in seeing you, we know our lives change. Father, as your word says, we're going to be like him when we see him as he is. Father, just a glimpse this morning. Father, do something in each and every life here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You know, this picture this morning to preach with this thought, looking unto Jesus. Why are we supposed to be looking unto Jesus? Because it's right here in Hebrews. Because each and every one of us got a race to run, right? No matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens in my life, no matter what's going on here, no matter what's going on there, no matter how bad it may seem, no matter how good it may get, the Bible says, listen, we're not just to be looking unto Jesus during bad times, we're to be looking unto Jesus, period, right? Looking unto Jesus. Why? Because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And so this morning, I just want us to look unto Jesus. I just want us to get a picture of Jesus, and maybe I got to think about maybe the greatest picture in God's Word of Jesus. Maybe the most outstanding picture we get is found in Revelation chapter 10. So go ahead and flip over to Revelation chapter 10 while you're turning. Let me just give you a little context. I don't like to preach without giving the context. In Revelation chapter 10, this is the context. The church has already gone up to heaven. We sang about it a while ago. We're going to step across the river. We're going to step into his very presence. I am here to tell you one great and glorious day. He's coming back to get his church, and I'm going up. I'm not going to be here. So that's where the church is at. And in Revelation chapter 10, what you find, I mean, the judgments have already started. I mean, it's bad. You think today is bad, you can't imagine what that's going to be like. Neither can anybody else, because if they could, they'd get saved today. But listen, man, so it's bad. You got the trumpet judgments. You got the seal judgments that happen first. Then you got the trumpet judgments. And in chapter 9, you've got the fifth and the sixth trumpet judgments. Judgment where the demon locusts, that pit's unlocked, and those demon locusts, they come out and they go to stinging all the lost folks, and the Bible says that they wish they could die, but they can't die. They would love to die. I'm going to try to die. They seek death. They look for death, but death can't be found. They're just going to be in torments. And then after that, man, that demon army is going to come racing across the earth and kill up a third of the population that's left. Man, you think today's bad? You don't think that day's going to get bad? You don't think it's going to be ugly? But here's the thing. Maybe one of the most dramatic verses there at the end of chapter 9, the Bible says, and they repented not of their sins. You would think that in the midst of God's judgment, that they'd be falling on their knees, begging God to forgive them. That they would recognize the judgment of God on their life, and they'd be filling up the altars. They'd be giving their life to Christ. They'd be crying out to God to change their life, to save them, to forgive them of their sins. But the Bible says they repented not. Say, what was the sins they wouldn't repent of? The Bible gives them too. Also, it says they repented not of their murders. They repented not of their pharmacia. They repented not of their pornea. They repented not of their lying. You know what their sins was? That is going to dominate the tribulation period: murder and drugs and pornography and lying. You don't think the tribulation is casting a long shadow before it today? What dominates our society today? Man, I'm telling you, it's not goodness, righteousness, and the love of Jesus. What dominates our society today is drugs and pornography and fornication and murder. Everybody said, well, they ended abortion. No, they didn't. It's still going on. It ain't slowed down one bit. We still killing babies. Our country's still killing babies right and left and every which way they go. I'm here to tell you, it's murder. They don't want to call it what it is, but that's what it is. And lying. When was the last time you felt like you heard the truth from somebody on the news? You can't remember it, neither can I. That's what dominates the tribulation. That's what's dominating our society today. And they love their sin so much that even in the midst of the judgment, they refuse to repent. But I'm telling you this morning, I've got some good news. My king's still in control. My Jesus is still on the throne. He's not on the cross. Listen, sometimes we get, and I did this. I used to do this, man, especially when I was new in the faith. I had this picture of Jesus in my mind. You know, at Christmas, he's the baby in the manger, right? I mean, we get close to Easter. He's a suffering servant. He's the one, I'm here to tell you this morning, he's not going to come riding in again on a donkey, meek and lowly. He's not going to be born in a manger ever again. I'm here to tell you, he's been to the cross once. He's not going back. Man, I just want us to get a picture of my King this morning. I want us to get a picture of my Lord and Savior this morning, because most of us have a picture of him that's way too small. Way too small. As we look unto Jesus, I want you to get a bigger picture this morning. Let me ask you, is he big enough? Revelation, since you're in Revelation with me, chapter 10, verse 1 says, we see some things. I just pray we want to see some things that John saw this morning. That we get a picture of what John saw this morning. Because John sees, first of all, when he sees Jesus, he sees a messenger. In chapter 10, verse 1, he says, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Notice when John sees, the first thing John sees is this messenger, and he sees him descending. He sees him coming down. He said, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Now, there's a lot of angels mentioned in the book of Revelation. There's angels around the throne of God. There's angels that are actually demons that are held in chains in a pit. There's angels all over the book of Revelation. So the first thing you say, well, who's this angel? What's this angel? I believe it's none other than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe it is the angel of Jehovah. I know some folks think it's Michael or Gabriel or another one. Hey, listen, you believe that, that's fine. We're not going to break fellowship over that, long as we agree who Jesus is. Amen. So it's not unusual that he would show up in the time of Jacob's trouble, as the Bible says. And when we see his description, notice his description. I don't see how anybody come to any other conclusion. First, notice his description. He is clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. He's clothed with a cloud. Man, that's my Jesus, right? He's clothed with a cloud. He was a cloud by day leading Israel through the wilderness. When he spoke with Moses, it was in a cloud. When he ascended back to heaven, he's going to be, the Bible says that he ascended up with a cloud. The Bible says when he comes back, he's coming with a cloud. Amen. He's Psalms 104:3 says that he makes the clouds his chariot. He is clothed with the clouds. He is clothed with that symbol of righteousness, that symbol of holiness, that symbol of purity. And his clothing is a symbol of purity. His clothing is clothed with the clouds. But then he's done what? Not only is he clothed with clouds, but he's crowned with a rainbow. And I ain't talking about, now y'all see rainbows stuck everywhere today, don't you? Right? Right? You know that rainbow's different, right? They can make their own rainbows all they want to. Their rainbow's only got six colors in it. And they can hang it on the White House, but they can't hang it in the sky. Only God can do that. By the way, God's got seven in his. You know, they missing one. You say, what? Which one they missing? They missing the Jesus one, the mercy and the grace of God. They ain't got that in there. They ain't got Jesus in theirs. He's crowned with mercy. You know what that goes back to? It goes back to Noah. God told Noah, God showed Noah mercy. God, Noah is the one who found grace and mercy with the Lord. Noah's the one that experienced the mercy when God was destroying the world. Man, God gave Noah grace and mercy, and he hung a rainbow in the sky, letting him know of his grace and his mercy, and that he wasn't going to ever destroy the world with water again. I'm here to tell you, hey, we see Jesus, and he is what? He is crowned with mercy. Listen, you think he just crowned with mercy here in Revelation chapter 10? No, he's crowned with mercy today. He's got grace for you today. He's got mercy for you today. It doesn't matter how much you think you've messed up, how much you think you can't make things right. I'm here to tell you, you can't make things right, but Jesus can. Listen, he's got mercy for you today. He's got grace for you today. You say, well, you don't know what I did. Listen, it doesn't matter. He's already paid the price at Calvary. Why don't you just get a little closer today? You don't think Jesus is big enough? Just come a little closer today. He'll get a little bigger. He's crowned with a rainbow. He's crowned with mercy. And he's covered with glory. And his face was as it were the sun. His face just shining like the sun. John can't describe it. It's just shining like the sun. Listen, on the Mount of Transfiguration, his face was shining like the sun. In Revelation 1, chapter 16, his face is shining as the sun in his strength. Malachi chapter 4, verse 3 refers to Christ as a son of righteousness. Listen, I know it's a dark world. I know it's dark. Watch the news. You'll see just how dark it is. But I'm here to tell you, my Jesus outshines it. Listen, I know it's a dark world of judgment, but my Jesus outshines it. I know your circumstances, your situation may be dark, but I'm here to tell you, I got a Savior who will outshine them. Listen, he outshines them all. Ain't nobody else shine like Jesus shines. Ain't nobody else got the glory that Jesus has got. Nobody can shine like my Savior. He outshines the president. He outshines drugs. He outshines alcohol. He outshines them all. No matter what your situation is this morning, he outshines everything. And he's clothed with righteousness. And he's crowned with mercy. And he's covered with glory. Let me ask you, is he big enough? Is he big enough, church? Get a little closer. He'll get bigger. He's carried on feet like pillars of fire. Like pillars of fire. Revelation chapter 1 verse 15 says his feet's like fine brass. Refined in a furnace, meaning they're red, they're glowing. And we're reminded once again of the holiness of his judgment. The holiness of his judgment. Listen, y'all getting a picture? Man, y'all getting a picture this morning? Can you see him looking under? Is he not somebody you need to be looking to this morning? Listen, because if you look into a president, you're in trouble. It don't matter who it is. If you look into a Republican Party, you're in trouble. If you look into the Democratic Party, you're really in trouble. But listen, man, it doesn't matter who you look into. If you look into a governor, you're in trouble. If you look into any man or woman, you're in trouble. But I've got a picture of Jesus that you can look to this morning. Let me ask you, are you looking at Jesus? We see a picture of him. We see his description, but we also see his details. He had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. You say, what in the world is he doing with a little book? Well, if you go back to Revelation chapter 5, you know what John was doing. You know, God done brought John up. He's showing him what it's going to look like. He's standing there in Revelation chapter 5, and he looks, and nobody found worthy to take the scroll out of the Father's hand. And John's sitting there, and he's weeping, and he's weeping, and he's weeping. But an elder comes up to John and says, John, weep not. Weep not. He says, John, what you weeping for? Weep not. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Man, John looked, and in the midst of this throne, in the midst of those four beasts and the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Man, I say, how do we know this mighty angel's Jesus? Because he's the only one that can hold the book. He's the only one that can take the book out of the Father's hand. He's the only one that has the authority. He's the only one that has the might. He's the only one that can prevail. And he's holding the book, and now it's open. You know why? Because he's loosed the seals. He's the one that's opened it. He's holding the book, the title deed to the earth, and it's open because he's loosed the seals. But notice not just the book. Notice the position of his feet. Say, listen, man, somebody needs to get a picture of this morning. Listen, y'all helping me preach this morning. I like it. Y'all fixing to get up here with me on this one. Notice the position of his feet. He's got one foot on the sea. His right foot's on the sea. His left foot's on the earth. One foot on the earth. One foot on the sea. You know what he's doing? He's letting John know. He's letting us know this morning. He's letting everybody who would have ears to hear know this morning that he is the one who is still in control. He's got his foot, one foot on the earth. He's got one foot on the sea. Man, we need to hear this. It's a dark world. It's getting darker. But there is nothing that Jesus is not Lord over. There's nothing he's not Lord over. He's Lord over it all. He's Lord over the solid, and he's Lord over the fluid. He's Lord over the stable, and he's Lord over the unstable. He's Lord on what we sit on. He's Lord on what we sink in. He's Lord on what we walk on, and he's Lord over what washes over us. He's Lord over the hard surface, and he's Lord over the horrible storms. He's Lord over what delivers us, and he's Lord over what would drown us. He's Lord over the high mountain, and he's Lord over the deepest valley. Listen, he's Lord over the good times. He's Lord over the bad times. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's who he is. That's who he is. What you looking at today? Is he big enough? Get a little closer. Get a little closer. And he's roaring like the lion. Bible says Satan goes about roaring like a lion. Listen, Satan might roar like a lion, but my king is the lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah. And when he roars, the whole earth trembles. Y'all getting a picture of this messenger by Jesus? He clothed with the clouds of righteousness. He's crowned with a rainbow of mercy. He's covered with glory and shining like the sun. His feet's like fire in his holiness. He's standing with one foot on the sea and one foot on the land, letting everyone know of his lordship. And when he speaks, man, when he speaks, the whole earth trembles. When he speaks, the whole earth trembles. John sees a messenger. John hears the message. This mighty angel, our Lord, takes his position of authority and cries out. When he roars, he is answered. The first thing, it's a sevenfold message. Look in verse 3. Just read that. And cried with a loud voice when the lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that which are therein, that there should be time no more. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. He's got one foot on the sea. He's got one foot on the land. He roars. He speaks. And when he speaks, he's answered. And he's answered by seven voices. It's a sevenfold message. Say, what is the meaning of that? It is very simple. Seven in the book of Revelation has a meaning. It means complete. It means done. It means finished. What Jesus is saying is, here comes the rest of it. Here comes the complete judgment. Here comes a complete package. Here comes the end. It's a complete message of judgment, but it's also a sealed up message. The seven thunders had uttered their voices. I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. John's about to write down what he's heard. He's about to write down like he's been doing everything else. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, hey, listen, don't write them down. Don't write it down. I think, man, how much more worse must that be if Jesus said, don't write it down? Now, I know there's a lot of folks think they know what that is. I'm here to tell you at best they're deceived, because I don't know what it is, and neither does anybody else. Because Jesus said, don't write them down. It's a sealed up message, and then it's a sworn message. angel which I saw stand upon the sea, upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, swear by him that liveth forever and ever. Understand with a sworn message. It's not the first time when we see God swear by himself. Hebrews 6:13 says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by none greater, he swear by himself. There's nobody greater than God. When he swears, he's swearing by himself. Notice what he swears, that time shall be no more. What he's saying is this, that there's going to be no more delay. There's going to be no more interruptions. The rest of the judgment is coming. You better get ready. You better get your life right. I'm here to tell you guys, one of these days, the delay is going to be over. And it's going to be too late then. All those folks that said, I'm going to get saved someday, one day. Man, it's too late. It's going to be too late. You better get it right today is what he's trying to say. You better make sure it's right today. You better make sure you're where you're supposed to be with God. You better make sure you're looking unto Jesus. You better make sure you're looking unto Jesus. He let them know it's a sworn message, it's a sealed up message, it's a sevenfold message. But then in verse 8, and I know I went through that quick, that's all right. And a voice, notice John sees the messenger, John hears the message, he receives the mandate, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, said, go take this little book which is opened in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth, and saith unto me, take it and eat it. Up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. He said unto me, I must prophesy again before many peoples and many nations and tongues and kings. For the first time, John is asked to take an active part. For the first time, John is told to go do something besides hear or write. He's told to do what Ezekiel is told to do, to go take the book and eat it. And he had the same reaction that Ezekiel had. It was sweet as honey, but it made his stomach bitter. I think maybe the greatest thing God asked me to do is to get to preach. He called me to preach. That still amazes me. Preaching is one of the greatest things God allows me to do. I believe it's why he saved me. I believe it's why he created me with a purpose. It's why I'm here. Man, I know many of you, but I didn't just come over here to see y'all today. I come to preach. Why? Because BJ asked me to. Why? Because God called me to. Man, I know y'all look good and everything, but I didn't come to see y'all. He called me to preach. It's the greatest thing I get to do. And it's sweet. I love preaching. When I get through preaching, I wish I could start over and preach again. I wish my voice would hold up. I just get to preach and preach and preach and preach. I love it. That's why I'm here. I love it. I love doing it. It's why God saved me, why he created me. There's nothing sweeter than getting to preach. Nothing sweeter. Nothing sweeter. I try to do it the best of the ability God's given me, but let me tell you, it's bitter too. When I watch people who are lost turn around and walk out of building, go in their own way. That there's nothing more bitter than that, when I'm trying to tell somebody and witness and let them know about the love of Christ is found in Christ Jesus our Lord, that there's no other way to salvation except through him, that he's the way, the only way, that through his blood that was shed on the cross, it doesn't matter how many drugs you took. It don't matter what you've done or how much money you stole. It doesn't matter how many gallons of alcohol. It doesn't matter. He paid it all at Calvary. But unless you give your life to him, get saved, get born again, you're going to die lost. Separated, spend eternity in the devil's hell. and watch people turn around and walk away from that. They ain't nothing more bitter. The one thing missing in their lives is Jesus. And yes, the church is going to heaven. I know I'm heaven bound, man. Listen, I wish you'd just come on back and get us today, right? I mean, just come on now. Now would be a great time. Yes, we're going to heaven, yes. Man, listen, I'm going to have a new and glorious body. I'm going to get to preach and my throat's not going to get sore. I'm going to get to stand up and my leg's not going to get numb. I'm not going to have to worry about which side of the bed I slept on last night. Man, we just going to have a new and glorious body. It ain't going to hurt. It's not going to get old. Listen, there's going to be no more aches and pains. Man, I'm here to tell you, I can't wait for that. We're going to have a new and glorious body, and we're going to get to spend eternity with the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Man, I'm not just going to get to talk about Jesus. I'm going to get to see Jesus. I'm not going to just get to preach about Jesus. I'm going to get to walk with Jesus. It's not going to be a faith thing anymore. It's going to be a sight thing then. That's going to happen. And you know what else? We're going to get to sit down. Whew. We're going to sit down at a marriage supper of the Lamb. And the Lamb himself shall serve us, is what the Bible says. I can't even preach that. My mind can't go there. I can't get that picture in my head. But that's what the Bible says. The Lamb himself shall serve us. And we're going to rule and reign with Christ on this earth during the millennial kingdom. And then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and eternity is going to begin. Man, is that not sweet this morning? Is that not sweet this morning? If that's not sweet in your mouth, you need to get saved this morning. But same gospel. Going to send me to heaven. It's going to send others to hell. The same revelation that delivers the church up is the same revelation that brings judgment and damnation and eternal separation from Christ. The same revelation. Go ahead and help me out a little bit, Chris. Probably everybody in here, we're about to close the service. I know some of you getting tired, but y'all stay with me just a couple of more minutes. Probably everybody in here knows John 3:16. Y'all can go ahead and stand. Everybody in here knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But how many of you know the rest of that conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus that night? How about John 3:17 and 18? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had believed not on the only in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The same gospel that is so sweet, that's going to take me up. The same gospel that saved me. The same gospel that saved my parents. The same gospel that saved my kids. The same gospel, I pray, that saved my grandkids. The same gospel that's going to send others to hell because they've not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let me ask you, where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? Man, who are you looking to? If I don't encourage you, I don't know what does. If you can't get that picture of Jesus in your mind, I don't know what picture you can get. If he still looks too small to you, let me tell you, just like Papa told me, just get a little closer. He'll get bigger. Get a little closer, he'll get bigger. You get a little closer to him, he'll get bigger. Let me tell you something. You get down in an altar, he'll get big for you. You get down in an altar, he'll get big for you. Listen, let me tell you, I know this. Man, the closer I get, and I don't know when my race is going to be over, Brother Brent. I just know it's coming. But the closer I get to the end of my race, the bigger he gets. The closer I get, the bigger he say, how close are you? I don't know, but I'm one day closer than I was yesterday. And the bigger he gets, the more I get in God's word, the bigger he gets. The more I get on my knees in prayer, the bigger he gets. The more I get down in an altar, the bigger he gets. The more I tell others about Jesus, the bigger he gets. The more I get to preach, the bigger he gets. The bigger he gets. How big is he in your life? Let me tell you, is he big enough? Is he big enough? Get a little closer this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, whatever you want to do, I pray you do it. Father, I know there's somebody in here that needs you. I know somebody in here, I pray everybody in here saved, but Father, in a crowd this size, somebody needs you. Somebody needs you to get big in their life for them right now. They in the darkness and they looking at the wrong place. They need you to get big in their life right now, Lord. I pray you do that. In Jesus' name, amen.